D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman and Adam Vingan here with you. Derek Mason out today. Willie Donick en route to beautiful California with the Nashville Predators. They will spend the week out west while the SEC tournament is here at Bridgestone Arena. But on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, we bring in our dear friend, Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. Teron, the Titans have made their first significant signing of the Mike Borgonzi era, bringing in Dan Moore, the offensive tackle from the Pittsburgh Steelers. 4 years, $82 million, $50 million guaranteed. Your initial thoughts on the Titans signing of Dan Moore?
Well, initial thought is that it reshifts the offensive line. I would imagine that J.C. Latham's going to flip to the other side. So initial thought is, okay, well, I'm not a fan of the team, so I could sit back and have things happen the way I want to regardless. But if I was a fan, I would definitely question it.
So I believe you have mentioned this in your analysis of the deal, that Dan Moore had his best season as a pro in 2024, but he also gave up, you had the tweet, I don't have it in front of me, 12 or 13 sacks last season. So what did he do well last season compared to previous seasons? That last season was a good, considered a good year for him, I guess.
Yeah, well, I would have to go back and really watch the end zone copy of some Steelers games to get a very true grasp of what he did well and what he didn't. Just looking at the numbers, you know, his pass block win rate is 92%. You know, that's pretty good. According to True Media, which is what ESPN uses, they attribute him to 13 sacks. And I did see, you know, some people have said, okay, well, you know, five of those 13 sacks were to Trey Hendrickson and Myles Garrett, and that's fine. But, you know, $82 million is $82 million. If you're paying a guy that much money, you want him to hold up against the other guys that are getting a lot of money as well. So, I mean, when I look at the deal, I just say, well, okay, let's see how this works. Will it allow them to improve two positions? That could be the value there, in that, you know, you have the right tackle, J.C. Latham taking over there, and that's automatically an upgrade. But is Dan Moore an upgrade over J.C. Latham last year? I don't know. But then you also look at the run block win rate. You know, he was 23rd in the league with 76.2. That's just slightly above J.C. Latham, who was 27th at 75.8. So we'll just see what happens. I think this does, however, allow them to, you know, be a little bit more judicial as far as what they do at one and two, especially at two. You know, whereas Ariante Ursary seemed like a possible option there, you know, to play right tackle. But now, you know, they seem to have the O-line set.
Teron, I was reading an interview that Chad Brinker did with the Tennessean at the NFL Combine, and he told Nick Suss about how he had studied the Washington Commanders' approach to free agency. The Washington Commanders signed a ton of players in free agency. Most of them signed one-year deals. A few of them signed three-year deals. No one signed more than 3 years. I know that the offensive tackle position was a serious need for the Titans, but doesn't this signing run counter to what Chad Brinker might want to do as it relates to looking at what the Commanders did in free agency last season?
Well, I think the bigger picture is them drafting and developing and being selective in free agency. And I think this move allows them to, you know, it's being selective. You know, they paid a lot for a position they earmarked as one of the ones that they had to address. And so I think it works right along with it, honestly. They said they're going to supplement their roster with free agents, and that's exactly what they did. And now, I mean, if they, you know, make a couple other moves, you know, get a right guard, solidify some other things to make this situation a better one for Cam Ward, like it all goes hand in hand.
Talking with Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. TD, right now, looking at NFL Network, most money given out in one deal today, Titans, $82 million to Dan Moore. Do you see any other big moves on the horizon for the Titans? I saw that they may be involved with Javon Holland. Maybe there's somebody in the pass rush market that they go after. Or do you think that's the one big splash the Titans are going to make?
Yeah, the safety position could be one. I continue to see them in on Javon Holland. Trevor Moehrig is another guy that I've seen, have heard connected to them. So we'll see there. The pass rush situation is just, do you overpay for Josh Sweat? And I don't know that I would do that, but, I mean, they've already shown that they're willing to pay more to get guys in. So we'll see. I can't really tell you, honestly. It's a really interesting situation they got going on here.
TD, I know quarterback has been the main focus heading into free agency. Are the Titans going to try and get a Sam Darnold-like player who can be your starter for multiple years, or do they go with more of a stopgap, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Jameis Winston? Do you think that what the Titans do in free agency at that position can kind of telegraph what we're going to see in April when it comes to whether they draft Cam Ward at number one?
Yeah, and you add Jacoby Brissett to that mix also. I think it could telegraph or show some, but Mike Bergonzi said that, you know, they're approaching it like two separate things. So, you know, they could sign one of those guys that you mentioned, you know, or Brissett, and still have them compete with Will Levis and, you know, address a different position in the draft or even trade back. So I don't think it necessarily gives a full picture of what they're going to do. I think it might give you an idea, but there's still a wild card.
Teron, looking at the big moves that happened in the NFL over the weekend, which one was most jaw-dropping to you? The trade and signing of DK Metcalf from the Seahawks to the Steelers, Myles Garrett remaining with the Cleveland Browns, and what's the other one I'm forgetting? Oh, Josh Allen and the new contract or contract extension that he signed with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I would probably say the Myles Garrett one because I figured that he was gone, you know, and they managed a way to, you know, that money will talk, and it made Cleveland a lot better looking to him once that money came in. So I would say that one. But honestly, you know, this Dan Moore one has me just as surprised.
But not in the way that most Titans fans would like to hear. You're not excited about it necessarily. Jake brought up Zach Wilson. In the first hour of this program, Teron, I started talking myself into the idea of Zach Wilson. I don't love it, but I don't necessarily hate it because I see a lot of parallels between Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold. Of course, they were high draft picks of the New York Jets, and they failed with the New York Jets. But just as Sam Darnold went to San Francisco as a backup and learned under Kyle Shanahan, Zach Wilson went to Denver as their third-string quarterback and spent a year learning under Sean Payton. He's 25 years old. He's made 33 starts. Again, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. And Zach Wilson isn't a name we've spent a lot of time discussing as a potential stop-gap quarterback for the Titans. What are your thoughts generally on Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I didn't like him coming out of BYU, frankly.
Fair enough.
I remember the loss to Coastal Carolina, and I was just like, man, yeah, this guy's not a top five draftable player. You could try to talk yourself into it all you want, but I think you're talking yourself into a bad situation.
I acknowledge that I'm twisting myself in a pretzel here, but I didn't hate the idea of it by the end of the first hour. That might change by the end of this one.
Yeah, hey, you know, whatever works for you.
Talking with Teron Davenport here on DVD. TD, I saw this morning, and I'm blanking on who reported it, but somebody said the Titans might be interested in bringing in another veteran running back to this team. Maybe somebody to be a bruiser to kind of complement Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. Could you see that to try and get a goal line type back? I know A.J. Dillon's out there after he missed a lot of last season. Maybe somebody of that range that you could bring in and just be kind of your third and one, fourth and one kind of guy.
Yeah, or Gus Edwards or something like that. I don't know that they do that, honestly. Tony Pollard, he runs hard now. Let's not get that twisted. And I think, you know, they've been really happy with his contributions last year and what he brought to the table. So, obviously, Pollard's not a big back, but I haven't heard anything along those lines. I know there are some backs that they have been looking at prospect-wise, you know, so we'll see. But I don't know that they'll bring in another back, especially if it's at a high ticket.
Quickly back to the draft here, TD. You mentioned that with this signing of Dan Moore, it kind of opens up your options a little bit. It felt like if the Titans, whether you go Abdul Carter or Cam Ward in the first round, you were kind of pigeonholed into having to take a tackle early in the second round. Any guys that you're seeing there now at some other positions, whether that's wide receiver, edge rusher, who maybe could stand out to the Titans at the top of day two?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at these guys, you know, first off, the trade back wouldn't be a bad option. And then, you know, you move back into the 40s and you're probably looking at a guy like a Jaden Higgins who had an outstanding combine. He's a big receiver. But if you look at 35, you know, if somehow, you know, Emeka Okafor, Emeka Ebuka, the Connecticut basketball player, if Ebuka is there, you know, at 35, he's someone that you would look at. I think, you know, there's a selection of guys there, but the thing is, if it's not Ebuka, how much of a drop-off is it from that guy at 35 to, you know, again, a Jaden Higgins, to, you know, a Savion Williams who didn't have, a complete performance at the combine, or even to, you know, Dante Thornton is a guy that he's not getting attention, but man, that 4.3 he ran at the combine, you go back, you watch the Oklahoma game, you watch Vandy, you watch some of these games, like you'll see him catch and run and that speed shows. So they don't have to go receiver at 35. They could go a little bit later too.
Teron, I know there have been a lot of big moves surrounding marquee wide receivers. I mentioned DK Metcalf, Devontae Adams headed to Los Angeles, Chris Godwin re-ups with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to ask you about a couple of, I would call them, secondary receivers. Tutu Atwell, it was 1 year, $10 million, if I'm not mistaken. Marquise Hollywood Brown re-signed with the Chiefs on a one-year deal worth up to $11 million. I know it may not be apples to oranges, but I'm wondering about those deals and what it could mean for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and what his market could look like and his value. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at those guys, the speed is the big picture there. He doesn't bring, NWI doesn't bring the same speed, but that guy scores touchdowns. So I think there's going to be value. I would say anywhere from 7 to 10 million. And honestly, at that number, the Titans are more than likely out. But I think that's kind of where he's going to funnel in. And the team is going to look at him and say, hey, you know, that could be my wide receiver too. And like high-end 3/2. And remember, he could play all three positions, and he does add value as a gunner, too, if you need that. So it's he's going to get interest, that's for sure.
What would you say the Titans' limit is on a contract for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in terms of money?
Yeah, I would say more in the $6 million average range. You know, you look at like a three-year, $15 million, you know, guarantee, you know, 9 to 10. That's where I would imagine they would be in on.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Great stuff as always. Teron, we'll catch up next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport joining us on the program. Hates my Zach Wilson idea. Okay. Usually, Teron is right about these things, so if he doesn't like it, maybe I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, his reaction immediately going, yeah.
That's a TD reaction right there.
When I heard the sigh.
Trying not to completely say it's horrible, but, you know.
He's trying to say it nicely as possible. It's like, right. You know what? No.
Yeah. The Nick Westbrook-Ikhine thing is interesting because when I saw that the Chiefs re-signed Hollywood Brown, and Teron is right, Hollywood Brown and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine are not the same type of receiver. But when I think about the secondary receivers on the market, they're probably in the same group. So I was wondering what those deals and Tutu Atwell as well could mean for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Teron says he doesn't think the Titans would go over, what did he say, $5
million? Yeah.
He thinks he could get 7 to 10, what did he say, 7 to 10 on the open market?
If you could get NWI back for like 3 years and $24 million, I think that's a great deal. But now that he's hit the open market, you never know what Mike Vrabel's willing to offer him over there in New England. The Pats have already spent almost $200 million in free agency so far. They just signed Milton Williams from the Eagles to a deal worth $26 million a year. So Mike Vrabel's got plenty of cap space, and he is spending all of it. We'll see if Nick Westbrook-Ikhine ends up reuniting with Vrabes over there too.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts now that the NFL legal tampering period is open We will continue to discuss the big deals around the NFL, as well as the Titans signing Dan Moore from the Pittsburgh Steelers. 4 years, $82 million, $50 million guaranteed. Let us know what you think, 615-737-1025. And let me remind all of you to tune into 1025 and 1063 The Game for updates of the SEC tournament, which starts Wednesday here at Bridgestone Arena. Those updates Wednesday through Friday, presented by Toyota, Guinness, the new Cumberland.com, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and Sloan's Motorcycle and ATV.